Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Good morning again, everybody. The Justice Department announced yesterday that it agreed to a $13 billion settlement with JPMorgan Chase over its misdeeds in the lead-up to the 2008 financial crisis. In the settlement, JPMorgan accepted responsibility for its actions and those of the two bad actor banks it acquired when they crashed, Bear Stearns and Washington Mutual. Now, Washington Mutual is one of the most involved in the consumer market, pushing lots of families into mortgages that they couldn't really afford. JPMorgan itself was guilty more of selling junky securities based on bad mortgages to investors. Four of the $13 billion will be for troubled homeowners. That's a really interesting part of the news here. Four of the $13 billion will be for troubled homeowners to be delivered in various ways. So let's talk about that with Reuters finance blogger Felix Salmon. Hi, Felix. Welcome back to WNYC.
Hi, friend.
So here's the breakdown of that $4 billion, according to the New York Times. $2 billion will go towards reducing mortgage balances in hard-hit areas. The other $2 billion will be for lowering interest rates for old loans and giving new loans to low-income homebuyers and keeping those loans on its books. J.P. Morgan can help pay down this debt to the federal government, also by demolishing homes and fighting urban blight in other ways. But NPR notes today that there aren't going to be checks to homeowners. So what do you make of this? How much does this benefit regular people who got hurt by J.P. Morgan or Bear Stearns or Washington Mutual? How directly is this going to be felt in communities?
It depends on what community you're in. It's being targeted mostly at communities in places like Detroit and places like East New York as well, where there are still, to this day, a lot of underwater homeowners. And one of the big problems, as you know, with being underwater on your mortgage is that you can't take advantage of all of the low interest rates that we have right now because the banks won't let you refinance. And so what J.P. Morgan is doing here is it's basically giving those underwater homeowners, it's giving them a little bit of equity back in their homes, or it's letting them reduce the interest rates they're paying on their mortgage, or it's otherwise basically normalizing their mortgages. And the thing is that this is perfectly sensible behavior for J.P. Morgan to do, even if it didn't have to. And the idea that it will quote-unquote cost J.P. Morgan $4 billion, it's very unclear where that number is coming from or how it's calculated. But the thing you have to understand is they would probably do it anyway, even if they didn't have to, because if you give someone equity in the house and if you make it easier for them to pay back their mortgage and if you improve the neighborhoods where you've lent lots of money, that's ultimately going to be profitable for you. That's going to make it a better loan.
Well, Felix, that makes a lot of sense, common sense. But haven't you and I been having the conversation for 5 years now since the start of the financial crisis that banks have not seen it that way and have been very resistant to these voluntary programs that the Obama administration has come up with to help homeowners stay in their homes?
Well, exactly. And so that's why we're now sitting in a situation where in order to do something which any common sense banker would do anyway, you have to take them to court or threaten to take them to court, and then they'll say, okay, but we'll only do this if we can add another $4 billion to the headline settlement cost, because that makes it look like we're giving in to the government and then everyone will feel sorry for us.
And even more specifically on how some of that money might be spent to help people, it could come in the form of loan modifications or principal forgiveness, I've read, and plus there's going to be a special fund for homeowners affected by Sandy. Is that clear to you what that would be?
Nothing in this thing is clear. It's going to go on for years. A lot of these, this isn't like it's going to write a big check tomorrow and do all of this thing within by the end of the week, you know? This is going to go on for a very long time. We don't exactly know when it's going to happen. We don't know who it's going to affect. And the mechanisms for us being able to come back in, say, a year's time or 2 years' time and say, did you spend that money? Did you do what you promised you were going to do? Where's the audit trail or whatever? That's not clear either.
And I was surprised to see giving new loans to low-income home buyers on that list, rather than making it good for people who, because the government bailed out the lenders with the TARP program and everything, but didn't bail out the borrowers. And so there are a lot of people still hurting. Of course, it's been 5 years, so there's been a lot of churn already. And, you know, a lot of the individual families are in new locations and whatever their financial circumstances are. But still, to be giving new loans to low-income home buyers, are you surprised to see that as a potential part of this agreement?
Again, we don't know how much that's going to be, but in principle, it actually makes a certain amount of sense, because the people who were most damaged were low-income home buyers who got expensive mortgages on homes they couldn't afford and then wound up losing everything. And, you know, they're not in those homes anymore. They lost those homes. Those homes were foreclosed on. And now, because they defaulted on that mortgage, they can't get any new loans to get back onto the property ladder at all. And so if J.P. Morgan is willing to help the worst-hit people by saying, you know what, it really wasn't your fault, it was actually our fault for giving you this mortgage in the first place, I like that.
Although it's kind of funny, isn't it, that, selling junky securities is a Wall Street crime, not a Main Street crime. That's something that J.P. Morgan did. But why would they take responsibility for the actions of WaMu, Washington Mutual, which was more in that consumer mortgage business, Washington Mutual, which they didn't even own at the time of their misdeeds?
They bought Washington Mutual, and when you buy a company, you assume its liabilities. And if you go back to the statement that Jamie Dimon made at the time, he said, we're buying Washington Mutual with our eyes open. We know that there's liabilities in there in terms of possible legal settlements that we're going to have to make. He originally, when he first bid for Washington Mutual, he bid $9 billion for it. Eventually, he paid $1.9 billion for it. Even at the time, he said it was worth $3 billion. So he was already in the price. It was a pretty large settlement was kind of priced in when he bought it.
That's pretty interesting. And does Washington Mutual even still exist as the bank on the corner? It used to have quite a presence. There was one down here near the station in Lower Manhattan. That doesn't exist anymore.
Well, it's all become Chase now.
Oh, I see. All right. Listeners, any questions or comments on this biggest settlement by a corporation with the U.S. government in history, $13 billion by J.P. Morgan Chase in connection with the mortgage aspects of the financial crisis and the securities aspects, $4 billion of it to go, as we've been hearing, to troubled homeowners, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, or post to WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehr Show. We are with finance blogger Felix Salmon from Reuters. And before we take a call or two, why does only $4 billion go to homeowners? Is there some better use for the remaining $9 billion than to help the people who got hurt by these actions?
It's going to investors. It's going to the investing arms of the government, you might say. It's going to the FHFA, which is the regulator of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, and it's going to the NCUA, which is the regulator of all of the credit unions in America, because they bought vast quantities of securities from J.P. Morgan and Bear Stearns, and those securities they bought on false pretenses because J.P. Morgan was lying about what was in the securities. And they're saying, listen, if we'd known what was in the securities, we would never have bought them, and so we'd want our money back. And so most of that money is going to sort of repay the government as investor in mortgage securities.
Harmon on the Upper East Side. You're on WNYC with Felix Salmon. Hi, Harmon.
Yeah, how are you doing, Brian?
Okay.
Yeah, my the take is this. I mean, this is nonsense. $15 billion or $1 trillion. They're printing money out of thin air, which is a Federal Reserve. They create phantom money, and they burden our children. And then they say, you know what? Yeah, take this money. This is a fine. And we're giving back to the taxpayers. It's the Federal Reserve, which has been created in the 1863 by these Morgan and Rothschild, and it continues on to this day, to deprive us of our liberty and freedom by this printing, the crazy stuff that's going on Wall Street.
Harmon, thank you. And without getting into the question, which I don't think we will really tackle in this segment, as to whether the Federal Reserve should exist at all, he did say, you know, $13 billion is a drop in the bucket, which is a whole other thing to talk about. Even with a $13 billion settlement, J.P. Morgan had a $21 billion net income in 2012 alone, didn't it?
It did indeed, and it made money in every single quarter through the crisis, beyond the crisis, and then last quarter was the first quarter that it didn't make money because it had to put money aside for this settlement. But this year it'll probably be profitable. And $13 billion as well, I mean, you know, people love, well, when I say people, the Attorney General loves to call this the biggest settlement ever, and so does J.P. Morgan. They're both incentivized to try and make this settlement seem as big as possible. But if you look at the way it's broken down, and includes various things which have already been agreed to. A lot of it is tax deductible, so the net cost is going to be lower. And you know, if you peel away the various layers of people trying to make it seem very large, it starts looking smaller and smaller and smaller.
And by the way, strong candidate for outrage of the week on anybody's list would probably be the fact that $7 billion, if I've got the right number, out of this $13 billion, is tax deductible?
I mean, they can say, hey, we've already paid you, the government, $7 billion. We don't need to pay taxes. I don't know. I mean,
so that's the government subsidizing J.P. Morgan Chase to resubsidize the government.
It all just goes around in circles. It's a big settlement, but it's not quite as big as everyone makes it seem.
Is it just the cost of doing business for J.P. Morgan Chase? Does it serve as a disincentive, a deterrent for the future? Because, again, we note, as in previous settlements, even though they were much smaller in financial terms, nobody's going to jail.
No one's going to jail yet. The Attorney General is holding out. He's hinting that there might yet be some criminal prosecutions down the road. But J.P. Morgan did not admit to criminal wrongdoing as part of this settlement, and we'll believe it when we see it.
So they did admit something, right? They admitted to civil wrongdoing, if not criminal wrongdoing. Is that a meaningful distinction?
Well, interestingly, they only admitted to civil wrongdoing after they settled a different case with private investors for $4.5 billion, because the timing was important to them. They didn't want to prejudice that settlement by admitting to civil wrongdoing in this one. So basically, after they've already settled these things, then they can admit to civil wrongdoing because it doesn't matter so much.
But in terms of who gets hurt, don't the shareholders take the brunt of this while the principals of the company, you know, the CEO, the whoever the top executives are who actually work there, they don't get hurt, but the shareholders get hurt?
Yes. I mean, this ultimately comes out of J.P. Morgan's profits, and J.P. Morgan's profits, once everyone else has been paid off, go to shareholders. And the people who've been paid off in 2006 and 2007 include the people who are structuring these deals and making multimillion-dollar bonuses, and those bonuses have not been clawed back.
Faye Hill in Queens, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi, Brian. Yeah, I have a question. When the bubble was enacted, I had with Washington Mutual, they sold it off to other mortgage company. Would I be entitled to any of this money?
In other words, you had a mortgage on a house through Washington Mutual.
Right.
And then did you suffer personally as a result of the collapse of the bubble?
Yes.
So what could she do, Felix Salmon, to see if she is eligible for some of this, a little tiny sliver of this $4 billion?
Very little. I mean, if you look at it, the damage which was done as a result of this crazy mortgage mis-selling economy-wide can easily add up into the trillions. No $13 billion settlement is going to come close to making people whole on the damage that Wall Street did to America. So if you were a customer of Wall Street and you got a mortgage and you were damaged by it, but all of us were in one way or another, that doesn't entitle you to a part of this settlement directly, sadly.
Indeed. Before you go, just one quick question on something else, because we're talking about making good the victims of J.P. Morgan Chase and the other banks that they acquired as the housing bubble burst. The Justice Department also announced that they've collected over $2 billion now for the Madoff Victim Fund. And we found out recently that at least 10,000 people will be eligible to start collecting that money. These indirect or third-party investors are not eligible for other money collected in bankruptcy court. But does that work the same way? It seems like there's a difference in the payout in the J.P. Morgan settlement and the Madoff settlement. Like the Madoff people, who are also victims, are going to get checks. They're going to get actual cash in their pockets. The J.P. Morgan WaMu victims are not. Is that right?
That's exactly right.
Well, why one way in one case and the other way in the other case?
Well, actually, I mean, if you look at what's happened in the Madoff case, it's interesting that if you invested directly with Bernie Madoff, then you wound up getting most of your money back. In some cases, like 90%. So you know, there's a loss and then you get it back. But then if you invested indirectly in Bernie Madoff, you haven't been eligible to for most of that money. So if you invested in a fund which invested in with Bernie Madoff, then it's been much harder for you to get your money back. And the further away you go from the site of the fraud, if you will, the harder it becomes for people to claim damages and to get their money back. This announcement is about letting, as you say, about 10,000 people start getting money back, even if they weren't direct investors. And what we're seeing with J.P. Morgan is, you know, because there are so many links in the chain between what the banks did and how people lost money in the real world, it's so indirect that it becomes harder and harder and harder to draw like one-to-one correspondences between you did this and that person lost money, therefore you have to give that person their money back.
Felix Salmon, Reuters finance blogger. Thank you very much for coming on and for all the clarity.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, the Oxford American Dictionary picks selfie as the word of the year. And since you've probably heard about selfie by now, we will also see what other words were on their shortlist, including binge watch, showrooming. Have you done that? We'll explain what that is. You've probably done it. And olinguito. Stay tuned.